Hello and welcome to the RH Review. I'm Oliver Newman.
And I'm Stephen Jackson.
Hi Stephen, how are you doing tonight?
Yeah, really good. Been a great week, busy week, but looking forward to talking about the show again tonight. How about yourself?
Yeah, much like yourself, busy week. RH Review episode 14 last week that we weren't sure was going to take place, but it did. Interviewed ROH alumni Shane Hagedorn. Part one was out last week, part two to come this week. Interviewed one time ROH tag team champions Carnage Crew, Tony DeVito, HC Loke, and interviewed the SATs last night.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm an interviewing, I don't even know. Yeah, interviewing machine. That's going to be my nickname. Oliver, the interviewing machine, Newman. I brought Stephen into this and we thought about it and stuff. And we're going to introduce a couple of new segments into tonight's show. We hope you enjoy. And we won't spoil it. We'll let the chips fall as they fall. And hopefully you'll enjoy these new segments. And hopefully the show doesn't go longer than an hour, but that's always the fun part. So we're going to start straight away. Hot. We like to start hot on this show. We like to pump up the crowd.
We do.
With a junior heavyweight or a cruiserweight wrestler, for what they're known in the professional wrestling world, and that is going to be with the ROH Star Spotlight. And the spotlight tonight is on the ROH World Television Champion and La Fashion member, Dragon Lee. Over to you, Stephen.
Yeah, so is the timer on? It is. We've started the timer. Just at five. I have till five.
Yeah, have till five, yeah.
Yeah, so Dragon Lee, he debuted back in 2016, which is crazy to think because, back at All-Star Extravaganza 8 against longtime rival Hiromu Takahashi, who he had a feud with over in Mexico and obviously over in New Japan. They had a great match at All-Star Extravaganza 8 in Las Vegas. And then from there, he wrestled Final Battle 2016 in a great match with Marty Scurll and Will Ospreay for the TV title, but he didn't come out the winner of that match. And then from there, was kind of flittering about here, there and everywhere on Ring of Honor. Special appearances only up until sort of last year when he joined the company regularly. But up until that point, he'd had some great matches against the guys like Jonathan Gresham, like I just said, Will Ospreay. He had a great match against, if I just check my notes quickly, because he had a lot of great matches, but he had a great match against Jeff Cobb as well. He had a great match against Jeff Cobb. And it was, one of those times where it was always an exciting time to see Dragon Lee come into the company because he was such an exclusive member of the CMLL roster. So it was always great to see him come until he became a regular part of the product in 2019 when he joined Roosh, his elder brother. Mm-hmm. And then as they are now, they're part of La Fashion. Mm-hmm. And as we've seen in recent weeks, his aerial offense is unbelievable. His charisma is very similar to that of Rey Mysterio. He just gets the crowd into it. Mm-hmm. Had that incredible match against Shane Taylor at Final Battle 2019 when he became the first Mexican and luchador to win the TV championship. And if you want to go back and listen to our review of Final Battle and hear our thoughts about that great match, you'll have to go and listen to this year. Dragon Lee, great member of the Ring of Honor roster, great for him to be a regular in the company as well as being a regular member of New Japan. Just unbelievable talent. And the fact that he started as sort of a special attraction to now being brought in regularly, I think says a lot about how talented he actually is. And I like the fact now that he's not just a special attraction, but he is part of that feud and that faction, La Fashion, with Roosh and with Kenny King.
Yeah.
So definitely a wrestler to check out if people want to see more of him. So Dragon Lee, definitely someone to check out going forward into 2020.
Fantastic. with 2 minutes to spare.
Great. Anything stuff. You'd like to add, Oliver, about Dragon Lee while we're on the subject of him?
Yeah, sticking to the 2 minute time limit that I've got. Yeah, with Hiromu Takahashi, that must be a match to track down. Because yeah. that guy's an incredible athlete in the ring. And yeah, just what you've said, really. You've nailed it. I've saw a few of his matches, more so since November. Obviously, the Shane Taylor match we've raved about, fantastic match. He doesn't have bad matches.
No.
I completely agree with everything you've said. And he is somebody you've covered a lot more than I have. So, yeah, I'm happy to go with what you've said about the ROH Star Spotlight this week, being La Fashion member and the ROH World Television Champion, Dragon Lee.
Yeah.
Okay, so with 30 seconds to spare, we could probably use them later. I'm going to cut it short, but I think we've done a good enough tribute to you, Dragon Lee. So we're going to move on to the news, and we're going to do this at a frantic pace because there's a hell of a lot of stuff to get through. Won't be bringing you into this, Stephen. Just smile and nod and, you know, look pretty. Okay, so first off, Best in the World 2020 is going to be on pay-per-view Friday the 19th of June from Baltimore. There's a tournament to crown a first ever ROH Women's World Champion. There'll be 8 first round matches at ROH Quest for the Gold Friday the 24th of April. Unfortunately, Flamita was injured at Free Enterprise and is out. Yeah, he is out with a torn meniscus. He cannot compete at Bound by Honor or Gateway to Honor. And he's and the future of the ROH World 6-Man Tag Titles has to be in doubt. Maria Manic is also out with an injury. She suffered a neck injury after being put through a table by Bully Ray. But we think this might be a storyline, but we'll still do thumbs down anyway. PJ Black and Brian Johnson have taken Mexi Blood's place in the Fatal 4-Way Tag with Party Peak at Dalton Castle, the prestigious one, Joe Hendry, Lifeblood's Overkill Mark Haskins and Hot Sauce Tracy Williams against Righteous, Ring of Horror, Bateman and Vincent. So that's a new 4-Way Tag that's been added. Bandido himself has been added to the Villa Marty Skrull versus Slex match to make it a triple threat match. And Bandido and Rey Harus will be going up against the ROH World Tag Team Champions, the franchise of ROH, Jay Lethal, and Steven's favourite wrestler, I don't have time for that, the Foundation, Jonathan Gresham. If they retain the night before in a proving ground match, and these are always fun, as we saw from the Dan Maff, Jeff Cobb tag team match, and give them more opponents, and we're quite happy with that. So don't have to bring Steven in on this, but I'm guessing he'll want Bandido and Rey Harus to win this match. Yeah, that's it. Smile and nod, Steven. You're doing a great job. Adam Brooks will make his debut at the 18th anniversary show. This is the new Australian sensation. Looking forward to seeing what he can do, especially on such a big stage. Yeah, there's a big ROH World Tag Team Titles match for the 18th anniversary. That's been teased this afternoon. We'll see if we can get that to you before we go off the air. Sumi Sakai is the first competitor in the 16-woman tournament. She's the first and longest-reigning Women of Honor champion. Battlestar 2020 is taking place on Thursday, the 23rd of April, and we'll see the quarterfinals of the ROH Pure Title Tournament. Jonathan Gresham put out a great promo called A Call to Arms, asking for the pure wrestlers of the pro wrestling world to step up. A match has been added to Past versus Present. It is going to be Past, Delirious and Grizzly Redwood, against the Party Peacock Dalton Castle and the prestigious one Joe Hendry. And once again, close to the time, we will preview these matches, so we don't need to talk about them just yet. Okay, going into our next segment, which is a new segment, which we hope you'll enjoy. With 5 minutes on the clock, me and Stephen are going to be talking about, well, I'm going to talk and I'll throw it to Stephen, so we'll go out of that a second. We're going to be talking about Future of Honor, and the hashtag is FOH Friday. This match was Samson Walker against Hakeem Zayn. He's now in Impact Wrestling. He's a friend of our main show, the BBGW pod. What I got from this was brutal Bob Evans on commentary is fantastic. Love the springboard double stomp by Zayn. And Walker's got a really sweet finisher. I didn't quite catch the name on commentary. And this was a good big man versus small man match, Stephen. What did you make of it?
Thought it was really, really fun. You know, two guys who went out there and they had a really fun little sprint. You know, the big man, small man dynamic really came into it. The Samson had Zayn on the chair echoing Samoa Joe, but then he ran out of the way. I thought that was a great little spot. And I really liked the fact that, you know, Bob Evans was on commentary, because a lot of the time with these matches, they didn't really, or they don't really get much attention, but I think he really added into it and he gave that extra layer of dynamic to the viewers at home rather than just in the arena, you know, because you know, I thought he really added to it. And he is a great commentator. I would like to have seen him more on commentary, you know, to add in that third man sort of, you know, dynamic, especially as a heel. I think he's a great heel. I think that's one thing what Ring of Honor is lacking, is that heel dynamic on commentary booth. So I thought it was great. I thought, you know, Samson is a guy who, you know, until I'd seen this match, I hadn't seen him, but very Michael Elgin-esque, very, you know, Biggie Langston, you know, that kind of style.
Shane Taylor-esque for me.
Yeah, definitely. Great power moves. And, you know, Hakeem Zayn, just great sort of early charisma. The stuff, the high-flying stuff he was able to do, and the, you know, fundamentals. Obviously, he's in Impact now, so, you know, people are able to see him on a national stage, but you can definitely see the cogs going and him getting into his, you know, into his groove in this match.
Yeah.
I thought it was really, really fun, really good, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think what we was going to say about Future of Honor, we wasn't going to focus on this on our, like, reviews and stuff, because it might be added to the Honor Club. Because we were thought, oh, we want to let them kind of make the mistakes and you know, kind of grow as performance. But both of these guys were ready for the main stage. They didn't look out of place in an ROH ring. And then when we were looking through the Future of Honor matches, the who's who of the younger guys coming up are on these shows. So it should be a really you know, cool segment to watch and to kind of add into the show. And I thought this was a good match. And then you talk about Bob Evans, and obviously we're not going to take away from the match and stuff, but he even had a storyline going with Cheeseburger after the match. So it was, you know, it's all encompassing, isn't it? It's a, you know, good match, storyline. So You can watch that, and obviously watch it for free on YouTube. You might get storylines in this, which we never expected. We just expected to be exhibition showcase matches. So, I think that was a good start to the Future of Honor. In all honesty, and we hope you've enjoyed this added segment to the ROH review. We just wanted to put a focus on, you know, some of the wrestlers, younger wrestlers that were, you know, coming up in the company. And good showcase for both guys. And we haven't heard from Walker recently, I guess, but Zayn is, you know, a friend of the main podcast, like I said, the BBGW pod that we're a part of. And, you know, he's doing well with the Desi Hit Squad in Impact Wrestling, isn't he? So, yeah, once again, with 30 seconds to spare, which we could use later, we will we'll cut it on that point. So I've had to number my different segments because they're all over the place. So with segment number four, we're going to go into the show. I will bring you in, but I'll probably talk about the highlights on my own here, Stephen, to save some time. PCO Rush highlights again. I think we saw that in a previous show. Just kind of setting the stage for what the main event was, I think. Flip Gordon versus Flamita highlights. Love the butterfly backbreaker by Flamita. And the question I have for you, because obviously it's highlights, so when was the last time that the mercenary Flip Gordon lost in ROH?
Oh, God, off the top of my head, I wouldn't even be able to answer that question unless you know the answer to that one.
No, because I'm just thinking, like, we think the title shots come out of nowhere, but then the two of us off the top of our head can't think of the last time he lost.
No.
So it's been, they've been working towards it for the longest time, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah. So yeah, if you're watching and you wanna contact us on our socials or the email we'll give out later or whatever, yeah, please tell us the last time that Flip Gordon himself, not as part of a team, he lost. We're really interested in that.
Yeah.
Because he didn't lose at Final Battle. That was Marty. He didn't lose at Final Battle Fallout.
No.
Yeah, I think he beat Ray Roos. Yeah. So the show, the main shows that we've covered go back as far as Final Battle. So I'm interested to know when was last time Flip Gordon lost, because it seems like a long time ago, and had ROH, you know, under the radar, started building up to the title shot, which seems to have taken place. So phase two with PJ Black and the Mecha Brian Johnson. It was just a backstage segment. Then we had Bully Ray, Maria Manic from Saturday Night Center Stage. Steven showing his... Basically, Maria Manic, you know, ran in, got attacked by the Allure and Bully Ray, put through a table. That's all we have to say, Stephen. It's all good.
Yeah, I don't need to say anything else.
Yeah. And the TV exclusive match was, still don't introduce him as this, but really should, the Mecha Brian Johnson and PJ Black against Oliver's favorite tag team, probably the Bouncers, Brian Milanos and the Beer City Bruiser. So my notes of this match were, I loved the pre-match promo and I've loved that the whole way along. This was another good one that kind of sets the scene and introduces you to the Bouncers. Really good tag match. I love the PJ Black, Brian Johnson dynamic, and I love the Bouncers. That's all I can say. And it really, it was a good tag team match. Yeah, you know, big guys against smaller guys. PJ Black refusing to let Brian Johnson cheat. And yeah, we've got a really good dynamic here. And when Last Real Man Silas Young and Josh the Goods Woods take on PJ Black and Brian Johnson, Mecha Brian Johnson down the line in a match or a series of matches, it's going to be really good. So what did you make of this match, Stephen?
I thought it was really fun. I mean, Brian Johnson's brilliant as a heel. I just love watching him work. He's just so good with his crowd interaction. He's so funny. He's so that classic heel sort of persona. He's just got to a T.
Yeah.
The Bouncers are a great bruising tag team. You know, and a little, he said it again, I have no teeth. I've got no teeth.
I can't bite. I got no teeth.
Brilliant. And yeah, their finish, I think, is brilliant as well. You know, Brian Milanes on the second rope and that, like, you know, the demolition leg drop is just,
yeah,
it looks brutal. You know, because he's a big guy. He's a big guy. So, yeah, again, you know, this
year
is
of the beer, people. Great. And that's from a non-drinker. You know, they've got to hold the ROH World Tag Titles.
Yeah.
At some point. They're great.
Yeah. So, you know, I thought it was another great tag team match, you know, and the tag division in Ring of Honor is just really deep right now. And there's so many different teams with different styles. And, you know, this was, you know, a perfect example of that. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And then what was announced next, and once again, the graphics on the screen were fantastic. In, you know, talking about upcoming matches and stuff, I want to make mention of them. And the match that was announced for next week was the match from Honor Reigns Supreme, wasn't it? So Dan Math, Jeff Cobb, and the ROH World Tag Team Champions, the franchise of ROH, Jay Lethal, and the Foundation, Jonathan Gresham, against Two Guys One Tag. So Real Man Silas Young, Josh the Goods Woods, and the Bouncers, Brian Milanes and the Beer City Bruiser. And we loved this at the time, and we're sure that you will really enjoy this next week. Moving on to the main event, as you know, two factions collide. La Fashion, so Arturo Blanco Rush, Kenny King, and the ROH World Television Champion Dragon Lee, along with Amy Rose, against Villain Enterprises, the Villain Mighty Skrull, Brody King, and the ROH World Champion PCO. So the notes that I've got for this match are as follows. Rick Titus saying he isn't finished with Kenny King, which, you know, considering how long they go back, that should be really interesting, but I'm not sure how he factors into this feud. And how we can get Kenny King away from this feud. So that'll be interesting to see. The match turns into a fight on the outside. This is kind of how the match should have started, given what happened at Saturday Night at Center Stage when they put PCO through a table. Great chemistry by La Fashion. Superb combos. It was an awesome match. And double powerbomb, double stomp ends it. From Dragon Lee. So, what did you make of this match, Stephen?
Yeah, I just thought it was, at the time, I thought it was great. And watching it again, it was great. You know, the chemistry between these two factions was brilliant. You know, the fact that Matt Skrull and, you know, Dragon Lee had history as well, that was great. So there was a bit of interaction between them.
Yeah.
And PCO's just nuts, you know, like when he hit Kenny King off on the apron with his cannonball, that was crazy.
It's like the second time he's hit it, the only other time he hit it was in Madison Square Garden, wasn't it?
And you know, Brody King with his tope and the, you know, the triple drop kick of La Fashion was awesome, and the finish of the double stomp power bomb, you know, looked great. Very much like, if, you know, we go back in time, if you've seen it, Oliver, the Dragon Gate sort of six-man style where it just gradually built and built more creative, you know, combinations, in and out, fast tags, you know, fast action. Crowd were really into it. Another match which really recommend people go and check out and just enjoy it for what it is. Great. And just to, before I finish as well, I think Ring of Honor has got probably the best trios and six-man league currently in wrestling with these kind of matches they've been putting on with Villain. I mean, Villain Enterprises have been the standouts, but you've had Mexa Squad, you've had La Fashion, you've had Shinobi Shadow Squad. You know, they're all been great six-man tag matches, so always enjoyable, and thought it was, you know, a fantastic way to end the show.
Yeah. And if that isn't, you know, enough content regarding this match, please check out our review of Anna Reigns Supreme. We kind of wrestled, pun intended, with the fact that we could possibly put this in audio, but we can't put it in video. So I don't think we're going to do either. We're just going to signpost you to the ROH Anna Reigns Supreme review, and you might be able to hear more information, as that was days after, and this is now about a month after. So yeah, go check out that if you're, you know, if you want some more information on this match. So next up, we'll go back to a segment that we already added, and that is the ROH throwback. And with 5 minutes on the clock once again, this match is Samoa Joe versus Takeshi Morishima from the five-year festival, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is now 13 years later, because it took place this past weekend, 13 years ago. And my notes on this, great atmosphere. We really missed this atmosphere in ROH. The hashtag is ROHTBT if you want to get involved. Morishima is an absolutely fantastic athlete. The cartwheel forearm, the missile drop kick off the top rope. Love the dueling chants of Morishima, let's go Joe. Love that kind of stuff. Morishima, yeah, just a fantastic hospital. I was going to go into the different parts of the match, but I think we'll leave it for you guys to check out. Excuse me. This has been a storyline that has, you know, been in place since Glory Barna 5, Night 2, I believe, Stephen. Yeah. And, you know, it took place almost a year later. So, yeah, fantastic match. Two of the biggest stars in professional wrestling. Two of the biggest guys on independent wrestling as well, fighting against each other. It was just a fantastic battle. And yeah, like I said, without going into the details of the match, because we'd like you to watch it. Yeah, that's what I've got to say on it. Just a brilliant match. I'm going to throw it to you, Stephen, with just over 3 minutes.
Yeah. You know, I had forgotten actually that it was Takeshi Morishima's debut in Ring of Honor, this match. And it's like to come into a debut against Samoa Joe is something else. And, you know, the Manhattan Center was always an awesome venue for Ring of Honor. Just all the fans, the atmosphere was brilliant.
Is the main event of the show as well?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Just absolute, the absolute sort of savagery of both guys, just the violence of the strikes, it was 20 minutes of non-stop action. It was like there wasn't any breaks, very little breaks between, lots of hard chops, lots of hard punches, lots of
Morishima
hard kicks.
Morishima ended up with possibly a broken nose because he's bleeding from the nose, wasn't he?
Yep, exactly. Joe just, at this point in time, Samoa Joe was just at his peak. Well, he was at his peak between this time and, you know, 2004 to 2007, I'd say, was maybe 2008. But yeah, it was Samoa Joe's peak, and you can see why. He was just, the stuff he was doing was nuts. And, you know, Takeshi Morishima, the stuff for a man his size to do what he was able to do, I think he's retired now, or he may have just come back into the industry. But for the stuff he was able to do, if you want to see a big man work like a cruiserweight, like we say about Brody King, this is what you need to see. The stuff he did was, you can't not be surprised by what he can do. The versatility of his work was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, you know, very Ring of Honor-esque match, in the sense that, I mean, it's very hard-hitting, very wrestling-orientated, but like that strong style, what we both love. And it was what made us fans. This is the kind of match what made us fans and why we love the company. So I would urge anyone who hasn't seen this match to go out and watch it. It's there on YouTube to be enjoyed by everyone. So, yeah, it was a great trip down memory lane again for me to watch it again and just enjoy it. Yeah, great.
Yeah, and for myself, it was my first time seeing it. I'd heard about it. I'd seen the pull apart at some point. And because we do the ROH throwback, I checked this out. I spoke to Stephen. So the anniversary of this, we we retweeted Ian Riccoboni's on this day, didn't we? And,
yeah.
Or I sent it to you, one or the other. I think we retweeted it, but
yeah.
I definitely sent it to you. And I said, oh, this is the anniversary of this match. This is the match. It's on YouTube, isn't it? And I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, we'll check this out and we'll review it for the ROH review, ROH throwback. So, yeah, like Stephen said, Samoa Joe, Takeshi Morishima. It's on YouTube. It's on the ROH YouTube, the official one. Go and check it out. We haven't spoiled it for you. So, yeah, go and enjoy it. It's a really great match.
Yep.
And we'll let this run. Just before the 5 minute mark, we're on point tonight, Stephen.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got 31 minutes on the clock, so we're doing really well because last week I was on an hour and 13, and I had to cut back. But what you didn't have on the audio, you had on the video. So we hope you enjoyed that too. Next thing we've got is the breaking news that I mentioned earlier. Excuse me. It has now been announced who Jay Lethal, the franchise of ROH, Jay Lethal and the Foundation, and Jonathan Gresham, the ROH World Tag Team Champions, will be taking on at the 18th anniversary if they get past two guys, one tag. They will be taking on Villain Enterprises, the Villain Marty Skrull, and the Mercenary Flip Gordon. And just wow. is the best response to this. Once again, I'll throw it to Stephen when we preview the show coming soon. But yeah, a fantastic addition to the 18th anniversary show to go along with Bandido against Dragon Lee for the ROH World Television title. So that's two absolute quality title matches.
Yeah,
and for anyone out there who thinks ROH are not coming back with a flourish in 2020 after hearing about those matches, I don't even need to say anything really. No. So our next segment, because we'd like to bring a little bit of focus on the amazingly talented women in Ring of Honor. So yeah, we're going to focus on a Women of Honor match. So we're 5 minutes on the clock once again. The hashtag is Women of Honor Wed, which is Women of Honor Wednesday. Scarlett Bordeaux, who is now in NXT, is on ring announcing duties, which is interesting. And this match is between Veda Scott and Sumi Sakai. So my notes on this match, great comedy by Sumi. Loved her stamping on the hands and kind of doing like the Hawaiian waves kind of thing. I thought that was pretty cool. Great athleticism by Scott walking on the guardrail. At this point, it's really unfortunate this isn't the full match, but what they showed in this match really makes you want to seek out the full match. Flex Express German suplex by Scott was really cool. Smash Mouse, which me and Stephen probably thought was the end of the match. But the match went on. Release overhead, belly-to-belly suplex off the top rope by Scott was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I had it as a backdrop driver pin, but I was quickly corrected on the commentary. It's a Flex Express pin. And the most interesting point about this for anyone who says women shouldn't be wrestling in Ring of Honor is 64,000 people think you're wrong. We wanted to introduce this segment to the show and we were just going to be doing this. And then we talked about the future of Honor as well. So, this was fantastic. I want to seek out the full match. It's a shame the full match isn't on YouTube,
but
this is definitely worth a watch, even though it's a little bit cut. Throwing this to you, Stephen, with 3 minutes to spare.
Yeah, just same sentiments as you, Oliver. This was a great, women's match. When people say women's wrestling you know, isn't necessarily the most, you know, successful thing in the company. It's like, well, 64,000 views don't, you know, arrive for nothing. And, you know, this is
the tip of the iceberg. I think at one point a match got like 8 million views.
Yeah.
So,
you know, this is the stuff what people want to see along with everything else, you know. And, you know, there was a lot of great hard hitting wrestling. I mean, that top rope, you know, back suplex, which Vader Scott hit on Sumi, that was vicious. Like that looked like she got, as they say, turned inside out like a pretzel. Like it was savage. You know, that made me wince at how that looked.
Yeah.
Crowd really into it. Vader Scott, really great, you know, heel and great facial expressions. Sumi works great as a babyface as well as a heel. She's so versatile. And, you know, the chemistry between these two was, you know, on point. There was some great exchanges between them. And, you know, one thing I did like as well is that at the end of the match, you know, the code of honor was followed and adhered to. Which I always like to see in Ring of Honor, just because of the lineage of the company, that I always feel that it's kind of been lost a little bit, but it's always great to see it when it does come to light like that, especially after a competitive match like that. So it's great to see that followed as well. Again, it's available for free on YouTube. We want to make as much when we're reviewing the show, just to say as well, when we're reviewing these things, the show, everything's available for free on YouTube. We want people to access the shows, access the matches. It's there free on YouTube. The link will be in the description. Just go out and enjoy it as well. Although it's not the full match, it's nearly the full thing, and it's definitely worth your time. You know, it's not, you know, it's not like it's hidden away. It's there for everyone to enjoy. So, you know, as me and Oliver have enjoyed it, we hope you enjoy it as well.
Yeah, like I said, we've added the Future of Honor to the ROH review, and we've added this Women of Honor to the ROH review as well, because we'd like to put a spotlight on both, especially the women, you know, of Ring of Honor have been underrated and underappreciated for the longest time, and the Future of Honor guys, just to get a spotlight on the show.
Yeah.
They were definitely ready for ROH TV, so yeah, that's why we went with that. And we've just under the 5 minutes again, done well there. So just to finish up off again, unfortunately in the UK, we don't have ROH on the Fight Network UK, but we do have access to ROH, so we're going to tell you how you can access it now. You can access it on ROHwrestling.com. It's available on the Fight TV app and Honor Club. And check your local TV listings wherever you are, and I'm sure you'll be able to find it. Me and Stephen are proud to be a part of the Broken But Glorious Wrestling podcast team. And in terms of getting in contact with them, we have Twitter accounts, so at BBG Wrestling. The main show is at BBGW Pod. And the website is bbgwrestling.com. And for yourself there, Stephen?
Yeah, so I'm a member of the, as well as being a member of the ROH Review, I'm a member of the Wrestling Estate, which is a news website covering all aspects of the wrestling industry. My most recent article about former ROH alumni and recently retired Japanese legend Jushin Thunder Liger got a lot of attention, and Oliver kindly, you know, said some really nice comments about it. So you can check that out on the Wrestling Estate. So
really
research
good.
Was on. Thank you. Research was on Google. You'll find the Wrestling Estate where we're where we're available. We cover Ring of Honor, WWE, Impact, and the independent scene. And each week we have a weekly roundtable where we discuss a different topic or aspect of the industry as a group. And if you want to find us on Twitter and follow us, we're at the Wrestling EST, so at the Wrestling Est.
Fantastic. And us at Broken But Glorious have got a partnership with Powerslam.tv. So you've got 6,500 plus hours of wrestling from 140 plus promotions. And you're going to use that streaming service and us for a month for free using the code BROKENFREE. And for myself, I'm a three-time pro wrestling author. And my first book, A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. I mentioned this because I was at ROH Unified in August 2006. And then I had the pleasure of being in the same hotel as the ROH wrestlers in 2007 in March. And I was at the five-year festival on the two nights in Liverpool, the double shot. And this is all talked about in the book. In my first book, in my second book, I'm always hesitant to promote this one because it's not really ROH, but it has got ROH alumni in it. So if you want to know what AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Seth Rollins are up to, you will see they're up to great stuff in WWE. And it's in my book, A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE. And for my third book, A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare, I was at the Orlando Double Shot in 2008, so Supercard of Honor 3 was one of the shows, and I booked ROH alumni Paul London to the main event and to the WWE Heavyweight Championship. And, yeah, we've got all three books, which hopefully I can put next to each other or not. So, yeah. And these are all available on paperback and Kindle, free on Kindle Unlimited. And if you'd like a signed copy, get in contact with me on my Big Cartel, fansperspective.bigcartel.com. So, yeah, thank you very much for that. And, yeah, that's our plugs done. And the only thing left to say is for the ROH Review, we're on Twitter at ROH Review. We're on Instagram at ROH Review. We have a YouTube account, which is the reason why we're doing this video. Excuse me, with one of those weird kind of addresses. So we'll put it in the description. And if you'd like to get in contact with us from a feedback perspective or comments perspective or questions perspective, feel free to do it on our social media, or you can use our email, which is rohreviewoutlook.com. And, yeah, that's kind of everything. And we're 43 minutes on the clock. Oliver doesn't have to stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning or half 6 in the morning because we've kind of done this in one take. And, yeah, only thing to mention from here is what we've got coming up. So we have my interview with ROH alumni Shane Hagedorn coming, part two, coming out this Wednesday and Thursday, respectively. And, yeah, join us again for the ROH Review, episode 16, next Monday. And until then, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you so much for the support, 9,000 listens and, you know, hundreds of views on YouTube has been fantastic. We appreciate everything that Broken But Glorious Wrestling has done for us by hosting us. And, yeah, we appreciate you for tuning in or viewing our YouTube channel. So, yeah, thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. And see you all again next week.
See you again next week. Bye for now.
See you later.
Bye.